Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news. I'm Carl Lengel. It is a Wednesday, the 18th of March, 2026. School safety experts say many Montana schools lack the planning and technology needed to adequately respond to threats from natural disasters to shooters. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports.
A statewide survey of schools on their safety practices is producing stark preliminary data. The Montana Safe Schools Center presented those early results to lawmakers this week. The nonprofit group says of more than 200 schools surveyed so far, half haven't examined their safety procedures within the last 3 years. That includes best practices for handling an active shooter or fire. One example, labeling doors to tell first responders where to enter. And more than three-quarters of schools don't have a tip line students and staff can use to report potential threats to school safety. The Safe School Center's training specialist, Christina Hayes, says some staff and students might not know how to respond after seeing a possible threat, like a social media post.
We need to do a better job of training our educators on what threats are. We also need to do a better job of training students what constitutes a threat.
Montana sets essentially no funding aside for school safety. Districts can ask their voters to approve safety levies, but those are increasingly failing as property taxes rise. Lawmakers during the meeting indicated some interest in putting together a package to boost school safety during the legislative session next year. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
A farm broadcasting legend has died. Some Montanans may not know the name Orion Samuelson, but as YPR's Kay Erickson reports, they know the voice.
Good morning. It's coming up on 9 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Saturday morning. I'm Orion Samuelson.
For over 60 years, Samuelson was the voice of farm broadcasting across the U.S. Lane Nordlin, a farm broadcaster with the Western Ag Network, called Samuelson the most trusted farm broadcaster in the history of farm broadcasting. Orion Samuelson understood the struggles of agriculture, having grown up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin.
Sharing agriculture news, hard-hitting news, but of course those markets that were so important to farmers in the Midwest and across the nation truly help keep farmers in business and help them make important decisions.
Nordlin calls him a pioneer on radio, TV, and digital platforms.
We referred to him as the voice of God within the National Association of Farm Broadcasting because when he spoke, you listened.
Orion Samuelson was 91 when he died at his home in Huntley, Illinois on March 16th after a brief illness. I'm Kay Erickson, Billings.
The deadline to apply for the state's new homestead property tax exemption is midnight on Friday. Application rates show mixed success so far. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Riga reports.
The tax break is available to long-term rental owners and homeowners who have lived in their primary residences for 7 months or longer. The policy is part of a complex framework enacted by the state legislature and Governor Greg Gianforte last year. Second homes, big businesses, short-term rentals, and high-value properties will see higher taxes to pay for the homestead exemption. A fiscal analysis projected that 54,000 long-term rental owners would apply for the tax break. As of Tuesday, about 35,000 had submitted paperwork. More than 250,000 homeowners have applied for the primary residence tax exemption, which is more than the analysis projected. Property owners who don't apply by midnight Friday won't qualify for the exemption this year, but can apply for a refund in 2027. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
Missoula County is hosting public open houses on its new draft floodplain map over the next few weeks. It is the first time in 50 years the map has been revised using new data. It would add hundreds of properties into flood-prone areas. The change could mean new insurance requirements and building restrictions for homeowners. The open houses all begin at 6 p.m. The first is set for March 23rd at the Missoula County Fairgrounds. There are also meetings for March 26th at Lolo School, March 30th at the Frenchtown Fire Hall, and March 31st at Clinton School. Missoula students take two of the top three slots in Montana's Poetry Out Loud competition. 14 regional winners competed in a day-long event Saturday, March 7th in Helena. Hellgate High School senior Elette Whitcomb took top honors at the event. Eva Murray from Anaconda High School placed second, and Samantha Symington of Missoula's Big Sky High School placed third. Now, in its 21st year, Poetry Out Loud is a program of the National Endowment for the Arts. It is administered locally by state arts agencies, including the Montana Arts Council. Participation begins in the fall as teachers provide coaching and guidance. Regional competitions decide each year's state finalists. In April, Whitcomb and her family travel to Washington, D.C. for the national finals, where students from every American state and jurisdiction compete for the national title and a $20,000 prize. In Wyoming, the affordability debate is centered around the rising cost of housing, food, and health care. But a new report says low worker wages at 20 of the nation's top employers are also a major factor. Eric Galatas with the Wyoming News Service has more.
While companies like Starbucks and Walmart are making their CEOs and shareholders richer, frontline workers are struggling. Sarah Anderson with the Institute for Policy Studies says many workers get paychecks so small they have to enroll in programs like SNAP and Medicaid to get by. She says this low-wage business model amounts to a form of corporate welfare paid for by U.S. taxpayers.
20 of the largest and most profitable corporations in this country are not paying their workers enough to meet basic necessities. And many of them are having to rely on public assistance just to get by.
All companies listed in the new report, America's 20 largest low-wage employers in the affordability crisis, failed to pay workers enough to afford the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment. A year's wages at seven companies on the list isn't enough to pay the average price of a used car. Meanwhile, the pay of the average CEO topped $18 million. I'm Eric Galatas.
Yellowstone National Park saw almost 4.8 million visitors in 2025. That's a little more than the number of visitors that showed up in the year before, but it does not beat the record-breaking number of visitors back in 2021. In the last 3 years, the number of visitors has climbed steadily. In the upcoming season, international visitors pay $100 per person to enter national parks, $20 more than before. Yellowstone reported that in 2024, nearly 15% of its visitors were from outside the country, and that was down from 30% 6 years ago. Most roads to Yellowstone are still closed, except for the north and northeast entrances from Gardner and Cook City. The west entrance from West Yellowstone opens April 17th. Depending on weather, both entrances in Wyoming will open in May. A new peer-reviewed study analyzing methane emissions from orphaned oil and gas wells in northern Montana found that emissions can fluctuate dramatically depending on weather conditions, reinforcing the need for longer monitoring periods to accurately measure methane releases. This study, published in Science of the Total Environment, examined more than 4,000 hours of methane emissions data collected from 15 leaking orphan wells in the Kevin Sunburst Dome oil field north of Shelby in Toole County, just south of the Canadian border. Researchers found that wind and temperature changes correlate with significant variation in methane emissions from open-hole orphan wells. Much of the emissions data used in the research was collected as part of its field program to identify leaking wells, prioritize wells for plugging, and measure methane emissions from abandoned oil and gas infrastructure. Unlike traditional emissions studies that rely on short-duration measurements, the research included monitoring intervals ranging from several hours to more than 2 weeks per well. Wells with higher emissions were typically monitored for longer periods to capture variability. The Montana State women's basketball team have received a first-round bye in the Women's National Invitational Tournament, or WNIT. They've been tapped to host a game at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse on the Bozeman campus. WNIT reports the Bobcats will host the winner of the Utah Valley-San Francisco game either March 22nd, 23rd, or 24th. Time of tip-off for that game is still to be determined. That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.